There is nothing in this life more precious than human life. The news of new life is the best news anyone can receive. For this reason, NationalProLifeRadio.net brings you daily life news, good news about the pro-life movement and its efforts to build up a culture of life throughout North America. Listen to daily life news, informational features with Day Gardner, news with Jim Anderson, and commentary with Dr. Paul Shank and Steve Perugia. Daily Life News next, right here on the National Pro-Life Radio Network.
Hello and welcome. You are tuned into National Pro-Life Radio online right here at NPLR.net. This is the Daily Life News. I'm Day Gardner. Real Alternatives is the nation's first government-funded abortion alternatives program since 1995. We'll be talking with Kevin Bagata, who is president and CEO of Real Alternatives, an organization that empowers women for life. But first, this LifeNews.com update with Jim Anderson. Stay tuned.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. A UCLA student who took investigative footage of staff members at an Indiana abortion business covering up statutory rape has released the full unedited version of the film. Lila Rose took the video footage showing the Planned Parenthood staff member also telling her that she could go out of state for a secret abortion. Get to lifenews.com for links on that video. MSNBC anchor and commentator might well have stuck to his original career, giving out the latest sports news and information. The left-wing media man is coming under fire for bashing pro-life advocates and their opposition to Barack Obama picking a former lawyer for Michael Schiavo at a high post. This is Life News Radio. Offering help for women with emergency pregnancies is what Birthright is all about. Started in 1968, with hundreds of offices now in the U.S. and around the world, Birthright is ready for your call 24/7. When you know someone who needs support, or if you're ready to help, call the Birthright hotline, 800-550-4900, 800-550-4900. If you're a pro-life Catholic, chances are you've seen the email that has been widely circulated across the Internet seeking prayers to stop the radical FOCA bill. While the email is accurate concerning how the Freedom of Choice Act will make abortion on demand the national law, there is one big error. Obama will not sign the bill on January 21st, as the email claims. It first has to go through the congressional process. For pro-life headlines you can read in less than a minute each day delivered to your email address, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson.
Hello and welcome back. You are listening to National Pro-Life Radio. This is the Daily Life News. I'm Day Gardner. Kevin Bagata is the president and CEO of Real Alternatives. It's empowering women for life. And he's joining us today. So hello, how are you?
Hi, Day. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. This is really very interesting, of course. We know that the government, the nation's, our tax dollars go into the funding of Planned Parenthood, and which is really upsetting many of us. But you are the nation's first government-funded abortion alternatives program. And I think that that's really interesting, and people have to know more about Real Alternatives. So tell us about this organization.
Well, it was started. The Pennsylvania Alternatives to Abortion Program was first funded by the by Governor Casey's administration. This would have been a 1994, 1995. The Pro-Life Federation, which is the state affiliate of National Right to Life, as well as the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference, had lobbied for funding for the alternative centers, and it was pretty much the same reasons you said in your introduction. You know, Planned Parenthood in Pennsylvania had gotten millions of dollars, and these two groups, as along with a very pro-life legislature, decided, hey, you know, why aren't we funding the alternative? Why don't we do something more than give a woman an abortion, in a crisis pregnancy, an abortion? And I have to tell you, in Pennsylvania, we have, this is quite a bipartisan program and always has been. We're very blessed in Pennsylvania. We have pro-life Republicans and pro-life Democrats who actually caucus together to move pro-life legislation forward. So it was not unusual in that environment with obviously pro-life Governor Casey, to create the program. And he started the program by placing $2 million into the appropriations budget to provide, quote, alternatives to abortion services. I was very privileged to be hired based on some Washington experience in government contracting, as well as being an attorney, to start the program. I'm a very blessed man. I tell people it's so great to use my academic and professional background to advance the cause of life, and we've been doing it since 1995.
You know, that's amazing, since 1995. And what I'm wondering, I can't help, you're talking about the state of Pennsylvania, of course. Why aren't other states doing this or able to do it?
Well, we these are great questions. In 1999, our board of directors said, look, we have a great thing here. We are very privileged and blessed to start this program and start the concept of reaching out to women so they're not alone, so they don't feel they need to have an abortion. And we embarked on a national strategy to advance alternative to abortion services through the use of government funds. Mm-hmm. We were very instrumental in helping Florida does it. Louisiana does it. Texas, we just completely replicated the Pennsylvania program in the state of Texas in 2005 and 2006. So we actually now have about eight states throughout the country, in one way or another, funding alternative to abortion services. You can go to our website and see what the funding levels are and who's doing it. But North Dakota, Nebraska, you know, some of those states have smaller programs, but the big states would be obviously Pennsylvania at 6.5 million, Texas at 2.5 million, I believe Florida is at 2 million, Louisiana was at 1 million, I believe they're still at 1 million, and then there are other states. I think Kansas also is funding now at about 1 million. So it has grown. And we were the first one. And in 1999, what we did is we wanted to explain to the movement, say, look, there are things you can do to reduce abortion. We're certainly not going to eliminate abortion. We would need Planned Parenthood's funding in order to do that day. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this response, people respond to this. Governments respond to this. This is not an unusual type of program. Governments, for years, would look at programs, community agencies, social service agencies that were reaching out to people in unique circumstances. Two that come to mind are rape crisis programs and domestic violence programs. Here you have the government saying, wow, you know, these folks are in a unique crisis and only these nonprofits are helping them. So what did the government do? They started to say, look, let's partner with the nonprofits. And let's let those services grow. And now you have domestic violence programs throughout the country. You have rape crisis programs throughout the country.
Right.
Governor Casey did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Another unique crisis. Only a woman can experience a crisis pregnancy.
Now, what do you say to people, though? Because, again, I understand what you're saying about this helps. Of course, it's real alternatives for women. We're talking about pro-life. You do not do abortions or refer for abortions. Is that, am I correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
This is only life-affirming services. That's
okay.
The only thing we do. From the moment of conception through 12 months after the birth of the baby.
Right.
So it's not just, you know, hey, welcome, you went through the pregnancy. Our counselors, and it's over 500 statewide in Pennsylvania, we build that trust relationship with that young woman in a crisis pregnancy, and we're there to be with her for 21 months.
Wow, and that does say an awful lot, because a lot of people will say, well, what happens after the baby is here?
You know, it's interesting. We have a graph that we like to show folks. You know, if you go back to Y2K, do you remember all the disasters that were supposed to occur at Y2K?
Oh, yeah. The world was going to end.
Yeah, and little did we know it was later. Anyway, there was a study out of Columbia University of all places talking about during times of very high stress, the craving of intimacy leads to a high number of unplanned pregnancies. And sure enough, when you looked at March of 2000, mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood did the most abortions it had ever done in 1 month. Mm-hmm. It was 3 months after the initial conception that was finally the pregnancy that finally was found out 2 months later, and then the abortion occurred on the third month. So we looked at those stats, and you see this peak with Planned Parenthood's abortion stats for March of 2000. Well, guess what? Our numbers peaked tremendously. But remember, we're there for 21 months, so we stayed with those girls. That peak stayed with us for a very long time, because we just don't want to say, hey, go have the baby, see you later, okay? Mm-hmm. I remember Joycelyn Elder saying, oh, you pro-lifers are just in love with the baby. Well, not in Pennsylvania. We've been doing this program since before she even had become, I guess, Surgeon General, and we knew that you can't just help the woman through the pregnancy. A lot of these young people who choose childbirth over abortion, they're young, they don't know anything about parenting, and our program provides that parenting support. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of our outcomes are the envy of other social service programs. Childhood immunizations within our client are like 96%. I mean, that's unheard of in any other social service program. But it makes sense to us, because our counselors are like mentors to these young women, and they don't, you know, solve their problems. They empower those women to overcome their own obstacles and their own crisis. It really is a beautiful program.
It sounds like a beautiful program. You know that there are some of the pro-life groups out there who say, we don't want abortion limited. We want to save the lives of all the children. And that's one of the reasons, one of the problems that many groups have with getting this type of funding or understanding how this type of funding works.
Well, I have to tell you, I certainly want and desire and pray for an end to abortion. Mm-hmm. But crisis pregnancies and unplanned pregnancies will never end. So I hope and pray that a program like this is established in every state, because mm-hmm. crisis pregnancies will not end. Unplanned pregnancies will not end. We need to be there for them during their time of crisis. I tell this to many people that I speak to. You know, if your listeners you know, think back to a time of a personal crisis, and I always tell the audience not to share, but anyway, you know, think back right now of mm-hmm. a severe crisis. Mm-hmm. Right? When you think about how you got through it, you know, it was a mom, it was a dad, it was a brother, it was a sister, it was an aunt, it was a roommate, it was a friend. You didn't get through it by yourself. So when you remember that, you know, nobody mm-hmm. likes to be alone in a crisis. And that's, you know, they say the definition of hope is the idea that some third party, some outside force will come in and change the circumstances that you can't somehow foresee changing by yourself. Mm. And that's what the program offers. It's hope. An alternative to abortion is not a pamphlet. Sonograms are good, fetal models are good, but they're not alternatives to abortion.
Right.
An alternative to abortion is another person. It's another person who will love her and help her through her tough times. And, you know, part of my enthusiasm 13 years later, what a great program. And that's what your listeners, through their taxes, are doing in Pennsylvania. We get federal money.
And that's very important. Actually, hopefully, we'll take some of that money away from groups like Planned Parenthood and those
Absolutely.
Other abortion advocate groups that end up killing children. So that's very, very important. But before we leave, Kevin, let's get your website out there.
Sure. I'll tell you what. We did a short film that really gives some great client interviews, legislator interviews, counselor interviews, and I would direct your listeners to this website,
okay.
realalternative.org/movie.
And we've been speaking with Kevin Bagata. He is president and CEO of Real Alternatives, Empowering Women for Life. And Kevin, I want to thank you for joining us today. Again, go to that website, realalternatives.org/movie, and get more information on exactly what this organization does. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dave, very much.
Take care. God bless. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Radio you can watch. NationalProLifeRadio.net.
Almost alive all the time. National Pro Life Radio. NPLR.net.
Hello, this is Father Frank Pavone.
Thanks to the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C., many new young leaders for the pro-life movement will come forward. The march not only challenges society to recognize and protect the unborn, it also renews and inspires those who do the marching. It was the March for Life in 1976, in which I participated as a high school senior, that sparked my interest in the pro-life movement, to which I have now devoted my life and ministry. Of course, many of the marchers are motivated by the fact that they could have been aborted. As they speak up for the unborn, they are really speaking up for themselves. And we reaffirm that they are persons, not because they are wanted, but because of the dignity they receive from their Creator.
This is Father Frank Pavone, Director of Priests for Life for the National Pro-Life Radio Network.
On National Pro-Life Radio, you won't hear Banned Parenthood, the National Destruction Rights Action League, or the National Disorganization of Women. Just the natural sounds of Fans of Parenthood, a National Pro-Life Action League, and the National Reorganization of Women. NationalProLifeRadio.net. Pro-parents, pro-children, pro-life. On the web at NPLR.net.
Keon Penn is cured of sickle cell anemia thanks to umbilical cord stem cells. And quadriplegic Laura Dominguez is walking with the aid of braces due to a stem cell transplant from her own nasal cavities. Unlike the controversial stem cells that require the destruction of human embryos, these patients benefited from ethical stem cell sources, and no lives were lost in the process. For Focus on the Family, I'm Carrie Gordon Earle.
Be a voice for life. Visit beavoice.net.
I'm Jim Anderson with LifeNews.com and Life News Radio. Listen to this station for information that can make a difference in changing a culture of death to a culture of life. You are listening to NPLR.net.
Welcome back. You are tuned into National Pro-Life Radio online. This is the Daily Life News. I'm Dave Gardner.
And I'm Paul Shank.
Well, Paul, Tuesday is almost here, the inaugural of the first African-American president of the United States. Of course, there are those who are saying he's not actually an African-American. He is a black American. But the inaugural happens on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, Barack Obama, the junior senator from Illinois, who was virtually unknown in the country 4 years ago, will become the president of the United States. Mm. And when he takes that oath of office, he will take it on Abraham Lincoln's Bible. And in so many ways, he fulfills the aspirations of many, many people in this country. His inauguration means that the shadow of slavery and Jim Crow and racial discrimination have really essentially passed off the at least the political scene in America. Many people will be celebrating Martin Luther King's idea of a colorblind society, that majority Anglo-Americans can elect an African, the son of an African father, and an Anglo mother, to be president of the United States. Of course, it's viewed, although it remains, I'm not sure, Barack Obama's upbringing, I'm not sure that he was ever a poor person. He seemed to go to elite schools and was raised by his grandparents in Hawaii, but nevertheless, a lot of poor people identify with him. So in many ways, he fulfills the aspirations of so many people in this country, but Barack Obama's support of abortion that kills preborn children and scars their mothers and fathers, undermines the whole fabric of family and ultimately of society, is such a stark contradiction to the symbolism of his life that it really is totally perplexing, isn't it? It's completely vexatious to think of this man who in so many ways champions, or at least symbolizes the championing of the vulnerable, of the poor, and of the voiceless, has abandoned them in his policies and the policies of his administration.
You know, I would love to, being an African American, I would love to be able to just say this is the greatest thing, and to be able to champion his being elected president. And of course, you know, on the one hand, you can say, well, he's accomplished so much. But there have been a lot of other Black Americans who have accomplished great things. And of course, a lot of times under the pressure of the racial pressures of the day. So he has accomplished an awful lot. But I think in a lot of ways, not much more than other well-known and even lesser-known African-Americans who have struggled and accomplished under a lot of pressure. The thing about Barack Obama, which is so, is like you say, he is very staunchly pro-abortion. As we see him pulling together his cabinet, we see that the people that he's pulling together are very, for pro-lifers anyway, are very scary people. I mean, because they are also supporters or advocates of abortion. So this leaves me with my stomach is like turned upside down, and I don't have a great feeling about this.
Well, let's hope that the problems in the Middle East, the ongoing war in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and the war against terror, as well as the economic meltdown, including the economic collapse of two of the great automakers in the country, both Chrysler and General Motors, are in severe crisis, that this crisis will distract the incoming Obama administration from the pro-abortion agenda, which is being foisted upon it by the big abortion money in the United States. And that begins with Planned Parenthood, which is the largest abortion mega-giant corporation in the United States, around the world, actually, commits more abortions for profit. They say that they're nonprofit, but Planned Parenthood actually has made a profit every year on public money. But they have now lost 20% of their income, and they have also their scandals have been exposed in the last year or two, thanks in large part to Students for Life of America. And with that, the Obama administration may not have its abortion backing that it thought it had going into the election. So let's just hope that that's a distraction. Also, let's hope and pray that some African-American ministers, bishops, pastors, evangelists, teachers, broadcasters, and the Muslim community will rise up and pressure the Obama administration on the question of abortion, because black pastors and the Muslim community in the United States are pro-life, overwhelmingly pro-life. So they need to take leadership with this administration, probably more so than any other.
That's true. That's so true. You know, actually, speaking of taking leadership, the pastor of Faith and Action, and also the leader, the head of Faith and Action in the nation's capital, Reverend Rob Shank, your brother, he's done something very interesting.
Well, he once again made his way to the inaugural platform, which is already in place. In fact, they've been going through rehearsals with the inaugural platform, everything from technical to security. And he found his way to the platform, was admitted, and anointed the platform with oil. In evangelical Christian practice, that is a sign of the Holy Spirit's presence. And in Catholic practice, it's sacramental. It's not the sacrament of anointing, which is a formal sacrament in the church, but rather a sacramental anointing. In fact, he used the sacred oil of St. Anthony for the anointing, which is a sacramental oil. It's not one of the chrisms in the Catholic Church, which is used for the sacraments. And they anointed the platform with oil, praying that the Holy Spirit will speak in a very powerful way to President Obama's heart and mind. He's also going to be sworn in on Abraham Lincoln's Bible. That's his choice, and my brother will be with that Bible. In fact, he will have had an opportunity to pray over that Bible before it's used for the inauguration of Barack Obama. So let's hope that Barack Obama will be responsive. We know that the Word of God will be effective. That's a done deal. Isaiah says that the Word will effect what it is sent out to effect. The question is whether Barack Obama will be responsive to that Word, and we need to pray that his heart will be touched and he will be responsive.
Amen. Let's do that. You've been listening to the Daily Life News. I'm Day Gardner.
And I'm Paul Shank.
Stay tuned. Up next, the Capitol Hill Commentary.
This is Dr. Paul Shank from the National Pro-Life Action Center on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., and this is the Capitol Hill Commentary. Next week, Washington, D.C., and specifically Capitol Hill, will host a clash of ideas and beliefs. Abortion industry proponents and defenders who poured millions of dollars into the Obama campaign will be looking for payback from his administration in the form of executive orders and legislation that will make abortions more available while paying for them. Then, the day after the inaugural, on President Obama's first day in office, hundreds of thousands, Catholic, Protestants, Jews, Muslims, and other people of faith will pour into the Capitol to pray and publicly demonstrate for an end to abortion, euthanasia, and all attacks on innocent human life. It is anticipated that the largest number of young people in decades will take part in the Mass for Life, the National Memorial Service, and the March for Life. The question remains just how President Obama will respond to this massive demonstration in support of defending and protecting life from its very beginning to its natural end. Will he include all persons, including the preborn, the elderly, and the incapacitated, in his vision for America? The money that the abortion industry paid to the Obama campaign is troubling, but he can remove the stain by ignoring their demands for paybacks. The nation has only one president at a time, and on January 21st, that president will be Barack Obama. Tell President Obama not to pay back the abortion industry by funneling more federal monies to kill preborn Americans. Ask the president to include everyone in his vision. This is Dr. Paul Shank from Washington, D.C.
This has been the Daily Life News. I'm Day Gardner. You've been listening to National Pro-Life Radio right here at NPLR.net, where all the pro-life voices meet.
See you next time.
If you enjoy hearing this programming brought to you by the National Pro-Life Action Center and NationalProLifeRadio.net, then please visit us at NPLR.net. You may also let us know what you think of our programming by emailing us at contact@NPLR.net. For Dr. Paul Shank, Day Gardner, and Jim Anderson, I'm Rob McQuay. Thanks for listening.